Please join me in prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So in the story that the children read from 1 Samuel this morning, David defeated the giant Philistine enemy, Goliath, with a simple slingshot. Goliath was over 7 feet tall, some translations say 10 feet tall, whatever his height. He towered over everyone else and was a fierce and terrifying warrior. He was covered with heavy metal bronze armor and held a huge spear. He also had an extra man out in front of him to protect him with a shield. David was only a boy, and he had nothing but a sling and a stone. Not exactly a fair fight. High-tech weaponry against sticks and stones. But David used his skill and struck Goliath down with a single shot, pop, right on the forehead, and Goliath fell to the ground, and the entire Philistine army ran away. People love this story because we like to hear about the underdog beating a huge, well-defended opponent. Even fervent Yankee fans feel some sympathy when a little team with no money or resources comes from behind to beat the champions. Isn't that right? I saw Jack look up. He's shaking his head. Any of you Yankee fans out there, is this true? Do you feel any sympathy when a smaller team beats? No? No? Okay. Well, some of us can't help but cheer for the little people, because sometimes we feel little ourselves. There are many giants in this world, from a boss who is unreasonable or mean, to the larger giants of poverty, oppression, racism, gun violence, and war. Can little people like us have any effect? Now, we have to be careful how we read the story about David. It does not give us permission to throw stones. Did you hear that, kids? No throwing stones. The only time you can throw a stone at an animal or a person is if you are being attacked and they are trying to kill you. No throwing stones at people you don't like, or even people or animals you are afraid of. Only lions, bears, and 10-foot giants, and only if they are attacking to kill. Get it? Got it. Jesus would tell us not even to do that. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when one of his disciples tried to defend him with a sword while Jesus was being arrested, Jesus told him, "Put your sword back in its place, for all who take the sword will die by the sword." Jesus taught that we should love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, and he could do that because he believed that God's power was already here on the earth. For Jesus, nonviolence was a way of life and a radical act of faith, even to the point of death. Still, there are some important things we can learn from this story of David, and it's not about throwing stones. If you're going to fight a giant, you have to, one, be prepared, be yourself, and you need to rely on God and God's ways. First, about being prepared. Last week, we talked about David's life as a shepherd boy. David was the youngest in a family of 8 sons, so he was stuck with the job of caring for the sheep. The older boys got to do more important things. Still, David watched the sheep with courage and faith, and it wasn't easy. David had to spend many days and nights out in the fields alone with wild beasts roaming around. When faced with a lion or a bear, David could have run away or sat by and watched his sheep get eaten up. Instead, he used his head and perfected his skill with a slingshot to save the sheep. He learned that even a boy could prevail over something many times his size and strength. So when it came time to face Goliath, David was ready, spiritually, mentally, and physically. If you're going to fight a giant, make sure you're prepared. David also had to be himself. He couldn't pretend to be a great warrior because he was not a warrior at all. We read this morning that Saul gave David his armor to wear, probably thinking it would protect him. It certainly must have looked much safer, and David tried it on, but it did not fit him. He could barely move in it, and that wouldn't have been safe at all. Goliath would have killed him right away. David had to use his own skills, his own tools, even if they were humble, a staff, a sling, and a stone. That was enough because they were his. If you're going to fight a giant, you have to be yourself. Now, this may be hard for some of us to learn because many people wish they were someone else. Even people who are attractive, bright, talented, athletic people who are the envy of the world sometimes wish they were someone else. But God made us the way we are, and that is enough. When we ordain people to the office of elder or deacon or pastor in a church, we ask them that whether they will serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love. When God calls us, God does not ask us to use someone else's energy or to use our own energy. There may be people here who are smarter than you, but you have a mind and God calls you to use it. There may be people here who have a better imagination than you, but you have an imagination too and God can use it. There may be people here who are more compassionate and better at helping and loving others than you are. But you have your own way of caring for others and showing love, and God wants you to do it your way. You may not have as much faith as the person next to you. You may not be as brave or as strong, but God does not want you to be someone else. God wants you to be who you are, and God can work with that. All God wants is for us to use what we have the best that we can, the skills and ideas and character that we develop over the years, and that will be enough. Just be yourself, because when we're fighting the giants in our lives, we can trust that God is with us. David said, "The Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's." It's not all up to us. We are part of something bigger, and we can trust that God works in many ways, regardless of whether we win or we lose in any given moment. So when there's a conflict or a problem, we don't have to curse and taunt from behind a protective armor and try to crush our enemies with intimidation or bullying, as Goliath did. Instead, we use our talents and our skills and trust God, as David did, and that's all the armor we need. In the scripture from 2 Corinthians that Tom read this morning, Paul wrote that he had endured all sorts of afflictions and hardships and calamities, not with swords and spears, but with the weapons of righteousness, knowledge, patience, kindness, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. Many of us have been struck this last week with how the members of the Emmanuel AME Church have responded to the giant of racism. They were attacked, deeply shaken and hurt by a young racist man who murdered 9 of their members during Bible study. But they have not put on an armor of bronze and gathered swords and spears and guns. They are not plotting revenge. They're acting with righteousness. They have struggled to forgive. They have urged the man to repent, and they are praying for God's mercy on him. And they will keep on standing against racism and injustice in this country using the weapons of righteousness, knowledge, patience, kindness, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. May we follow their example, for righteousness is the only armor we need to do God's will in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.